MSNBC may have itself a little joy problem. You're not going to believe what this anchor said. I mean, someone just asked me, actually, the other day whether or not Elon Musk would soon be accused of being racist. This was on a television program I was speaking on recently. And I said, yeah, you know, it could happen because that's sort of the go-to card, right? I didn't think it would happen. Like 36 hours later, sure enough, that's what we are hearing. So we're going to get into all that. Plus, Joe Biden may have a plan to cancel everyone's student loans. This will be interesting to see how that goes over. I mean, interesting at a time when the country's dealing also with mass inflation. Now you're talking about wiping out trillions of dollars worth of student loans. A lot of people are kind of angry. I mean, after all, if you paid for your college and you spent years paying off your student loans, if you worked three jobs to send your kid to school, what kind of message is this saying? By the way, this is different than the plan that was being talked about just a week ago, which I reported on. He's actually thinking about going full throttle here. We're going to get into it. Plus, Deutsche Bank is predicting a recession here in the United States. The German investment bank saying that a major recession is coming. This is different from what they were saying just about a week or two ago when they said maybe it would be a mild recession. I have warned we are at risk for a major recession. In fact, I've said there's an 85% chance of it after the Federal Reserve has printed so much money for so long. We have an inflation problem. And when you cut back on the money printing, it is going to lead to an economic problem. And we got to talk about whether or not the left could actually derail the Twitter deal that Elon Musk has in place. Look, it's going to take 6 months to close, and they're hoping and praying that this whole thing goes away. It's like a bad nightmare they just want to wake up from, right? Welcome, everyone, to the Trish Regan Show. Good to have you here again. A quick reminder, portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals than now, certainly right now. So go to legacypminvestments.com for more. We're going to talk a little bit more about gold later in the program, because with this recession threat on the horizon, it's all the more reason why you want to pay attention to things like diversification of your portfolio. But before we get to that, I got to share with you Joy Reid, this MSNBC anchor who was on her program, quite distressed, of course, that Twitter is no longer going to be in the control of certain elitists that want to advance certain narratives. And so she said, and I quote, that Elon Musk's companies have a history of open racism. You know, she said, there's been this lawsuit against Tesla and he himself is a troll. So, she says, his idea of freedom means freedom to be a jerk and to be cruel and to have no one be able to stop you. And then she went on. She was not done. In fact, she was just kind of getting warmed up. She said that Twitter was really bad for quite some time. They attacked women. The misogyny was crazy on Twitter for a while. Gosh, I would argue, actually, it still is, Joy. if you're a member of the conservative class, you still deal with that on Twitter. Anyway, she goes on to say, Elon Musk, I guess he misses the old South Africa in the 80s. He wants that back. Wow. I mean, that's some pretty aggressive language. Of course, you know what? I think Elon actually would be fine with it. I mean, he may not choose to watch her. He may not choose to listen to her. He may not choose to follow her on Twitter. He may even block her. But she can say it. I mean, as long as her employer's okay with it, I guess that becomes the issue, which is why I do think MSNBC has a joy problem, shall we say. And they've had a problem for a while. I mean, like, it's sort of amazing the woman is still there at the institution, given that she was criticized heavily for what were considered some very homophobic blogs, right? I guess. And she said some pretty heinous stuff a while back in the early 2000s. And then she came out and said, oh, actually, that wasn't me. I think I got hacked. And then it turned out, actually, maybe it was her. And she apologized. Who the heck knows? Other than we do know she's somebody who's trying to get attention. And that's what this is all about. So let's not give it to her. Let's move on here. I want to talk about whether or not the left could actually cancel the Twitter deal. I mean, you have people like her all upset and many, many, many publications and many people on the left saying, you know what, this is just going to be the end of our ability to have a civil conversation, because you see, now people that have ideas that maybe don't like are going to be able to hopefully express those ideas. We've seen a lot of conservatives on Twitter, actually, just within the last several days, see a massive uptick in their number of followers, which tells you whatever algorithms were in place are suddenly being lifted. Isn't that pretty amazing? I think that any algorithm that is artificially suppressing conservative thought, that should be exposed, and it's about to be exposed. But anyway, the left, they don't want this whole thing to happen. So I just want to throw a dose of reality on all of this. Could the deal not go through? It's possible. I mean, there's 6 months between now and when it actually closes. And look, we've seen it before plenty of times when all of a sudden another bidder comes out of the woodwork and offers more. So if somebody says, hey, I got more than $54.20 a share and they have the financing and it looks like a decent partnership, then as long as Twitter and its shareholders, its board, as long as they're willing to pay the breakup fee, then guess what? The new deal could happen, but I don't think it's going to. And the reason I don't think it's going to is I don't think anybody else is out there that's crazy enough to spend $54.20 on this company. I mean, I do think this is a bit of a passion project for Elon Musk, who sees Twitter as something that's really vital to our democracy. It is that town square. He does see a business opportunity as well, but he's willing to take the company private and sort of sit out the challenging times as it gets reorganized and put on a track where it can make money. So does anybody else have that vision? I'm not so sure about that. Not for $54.20 a share, a 38% premium over where it originally was. So I don't see another bidder out there. Now, what could happen, and I suspect that the board was always worried about this because Elon is known for kind of a mercurial personality, is that the company just bombs, right, on earnings. Its earnings are actually out on Thursday. If it were to totally bomb, Elon could say, wait a second, this is not what I thought I was getting. And then he could say, I'll pay the breakup fee and go on my merry way. That's always a possibility. I don't see that happening. I do think that there's a pretty good chance this company does get sold to Elon Musk. And I will say this, guys. I think the risk arb guys are going to have a little bit of fun with all of it. Turning to another big story that we are watching right now, it looks like Joe Biden is actually entertaining the idea of canceling student debt. All those loans, trillions of dollars worth of loans. Oh my goodness, what would that look like? You want to talk inflation? Let me tell you, the economic consequences of that would be quite severe, not to mention what it says about individual responsibility. And when you take out a loan, you do need to pay it back. Anyway, this is coming to us via the Washington Post. They write that during a lengthy meeting with members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus on Monday, the president signaled multiple times that he was prepared not only to extend the current moratorium, but to potentially take executive actions, canceling some of the debt altogether. This is according, the Post says, to two House members that were in attendance and two aides briefed on the meeting's contents. This came up about a week or so ago. I reported on it. On its surface, what was being proposed by the Biden administration was actually kind of, half, you know what, it really wasn't here, there, or anywhere, because it was only going to help, a very, very small portion of people by reducing the amount of years that they were going to have to pay off this debt. Now you're talking about something entirely different. I mean, if he actually is saying we're going to cancel the debt altogether, or portion of this debt altogether, that puts us in a whole different category. Look, I would say this, the student debt loan stuff is awful. I think it's kind of a tragedy that so many young people are graduating from school and they are burdened with massive amounts of money that they owe back. And they're not really equipped, right, to do anything out in the real world. I mean, I'm sorry, but not everybody needs to get a degree in philosophy so that they can become a barista at Starbucks. That's a bunch of hogwash that society has put on us, trying to convince us that everybody needs this stamp of approval from some little college in Timbuktu. You know what? You don't, actually. To be a well-informed, intelligent person, you need to do some reading, probably on your own. You need to be able to have thoughtful discussions, of course, with other people on your own, but you don't need to be force-fed a bunch of stuff by an institution that's just trying to make a whole bunch of money. And by the way, the government's there with a blank check. Think about how ill-conceived this actually is. You know, Alice Rivlin, who was one of the developers of the student loan and Perkins and all these programs way back when. She's since deceased, but she later came out and admitted it, something went wrong, right? It wasn't what they had intended, because the idea is you help people to get a leg up, right? And the government really shouldn't be too judgmental about who gets to have a leg up, who doesn't. Otherwise, we turn into Europe or some other countries. The USSR comes to mind, right? Where they decide if you're going to be a gymnast at 5 years old or a classical pianist or a scientist. Look, we in the United States of America should leave that opportunity for people to be able to go to school and to help themselves. Yet simultaneously, we do have a problem because we've created all this inflation within the educational system by giving out these blank checks. I mean, if you give a bunch of 18-year-olds a blank check and say, hey, go buy a house, any house you want, go for it. What do you think is going to happen to the housing market? Houses are going to get more expensive. This is what's happened with college. Exactly what's happened with college. And then you add on the bias within the institutions, the woke bias within the institutions. And consequently, you get a whole bunch of people that are graduating from college without a lot of skills, but a whole lot of like political nonsense in their heads. And then they're kind of angry because guess what? They're on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars that they can't pay back. It is a giant, massive mess. And the answer is not to cancel debt, but to actually think constructively about how we as a society can fix this problem, because it should not cost this much money to go to college. But yet, not everybody should be going to college, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's like a four-year party. All right, I want to turn to another big one we're covering, Deutsche Bank coming out and saying that there could be a major recession. I told you that probably a year ago. I actually have been very, very concerned about inflation, as you well know, since July of 2020. I have echoed those concerns over and over and over and over again on this show, urging you, of course, to be prepared for it, which is why we're going to talk about gold in just a moment. But I recently came out and said I did expect a recession, 85% chance anyway of a recession, because I don't know how the Fed pulls this one off. I mean, they got to get a rabbit out of the hat somehow. You are telling me that you're going to stop printing all this money. You're going to raise interest rates, which makes everything more expensive, right? So businesses don't want to invest as much. People don't want to go out necessarily and buy that new house because it's going to cost a whole lot more for that new house because interest rates are higher. When you cause the price of money effectively to go up, it has a dampening effect on the economy. Now, best case scenario, the Fed is watching this as they go along, right? They always wanted 2-3% inflation. I've always wondered why you even need 2-3%, frankly. But I think the idea is you want a little bit, right? Just to incentivize people to be in markets and to do things in the here and now, as opposed to waiting 5 years or 10 years because there's the threat that prices will go up. But somehow this all got off track. They did what they needed to do in March 2020, and then they went crazy. And they just kept spending and spending and printing to the tune of $120 billion a month that they were buying of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries in order to artificially suppress interest rates and keep the money spigot open. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost, so to speak. And what a bad time. I mean, if it were a normal time, maybe they could pull this off, although I'd still argue it would be pretty challenging. But this is not a normal time. You get a whole bunch of other things going on. We are looking at worldwide inflation. We've got massive problems on the energy front in terms of what energy is going to cost us and our European allies. I mean, this is what you call one big old giant mess. And I would also add that historically, the Fed has never been able to pull this off. Something Deutsche Bank, by the way, noticed in its notes. They said that history shows the Fed has, quote, never been able to correct even smaller overshoots of inflation and employment, quote, without pushing the economy into a significant recession. I mean, I've looked back over the last 80 years. They've never been able to do it. When they try and reduce inflation like they're trying to now, the answer has always been inflation. So always been recession. So I don't know how they're going to pull this one off. But they have to do something. They have to do something on inflation. Look, the long-term trajectory is still really challenging for the country, which is why I want to just take a moment and talk about gold, which actually has been trading down. Let me pull up gold this week, which I see actually as an opportunity. It's down slightly. I mean, it's still $1,891 per ounce, $1,891 per ounce. But gold is one of those things that has stood the test of time that helps to even out inflation in your portfolio and helps you when, you know, things get really, really bad. So if you are heading into recession, if you are worried about the stock market going down in the foreseeable future, if you are worried about increasing threats, given what we're seeing going on there between Russia and Ukraine, then gold is something that maybe can help even out some of those challenges in your portfolio. And it's one of the reasons why people say, as a rule of thumb, you can look at having anywhere from 1% to 5% of your portfolio in gold. Now, one of the things you could also look at is what's called a gold-backed IRA. This is something that Legacy Precious Metals offers. They also offer the real stuff. I mean, if you want some gold in your safe deposit box or gold in your basement, some people do, and I get it. Look, you know, scary times. Then they can help you with that as well. But an IRA, a gold-backed IRA, is one of the methods that people choose to kind of help keep their money safe for the foreseeable future. Anyway, you can give them a call, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. Talk to them. They're good friends of mine, so I promise they'll take very, very good care of you. You are free, of course, to use my name. I think that the reality is this. We are looking at a serious recession. I don't know how we avoid this. And I think Jerome Powell and company, they need to do what they need to do. But the frustration, you know, from my perspective, is that they should have done it so much earlier. And so much of this could have been prevented. I mean, it's one of the reasons why they say keep a little powder dry, right? It's like your own personal savings. You want to make sure that you have something for a rainy day. The Fed didn't really have anything for a rainy day. So then they get hit with March 2020. And then they just kept printing. And simultaneously, you had multiple rounds of stimulus from the federal government. And so all in all, you had too much money in the system. You increased the money supply by too much. And now we're paying the price, but we're paying the price at a really challenging, tricky time. So that is unfortunate, but it is the reality of things right now. A quick reminder, do make sure that you subscribe to this channel. Do make sure that you follow me on Twitter, by the way, Trish_Regan. I too have been seeing an uptick in follow. A quick reminder, do make sure that you subscribe to this channel. Do make sure that you follow me on Twitter, by the way, Trish_Regan. I too have been seeing an uptick in followers. It's nice to be back above 700,000 there on Twitter. So go follow me on Twitter @Trish_Regan. Join me on my Locals platform. All my supporters are there. Small little group. We've got a little group, a very dedicated group, though, of wonderful, wonderful people there on Locals. So please join us over there and help us grow that. There are no algorithms that you have to worry about. It's at trishregan.locals.com. And of course, subscribe to this channel, and I will see you back here tomorrow.